Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just, I couldn't quit.
Now on to the show. On the show today, we have Cornerstone Advisors' very own Ron Shevlin and Mary Wisniewski. They're talking about their annual What's Going On in Banking 2023 report, and we covered a lot of ground in this discussion. We covered topics like the war for deposits, real-time payment strategies, fintech, digital transformation, lending. Oh my gosh, we covered a lot of ground in this interview, so hope you guys check it out. Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have some fine representatives of the Cornerstone Advisors firm here on our call today. Right next to me is Mr. Ron Shevlin. Ron, how are you, sir? Good to see you.
Doing great. Happy New Year's, Mike.
Happy New Year to you as well. And then right below us is Mary Wisniewski from Cornerstone as well. Mary, how are you? Good to see you.
I'm good. Good to see you too. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Great to have you guys here, because today we're talking about what's going on in banking 2023. And as you can see right behind me, I tried to put the cover of it on our screen, but it's a little blurry. And one of the first questions I have to ask you, Ron, is that you on the cover? Did you model for that on the cover there? Because it looks like you sitting in a boat made out of a $100 bill in these stormy seas. Or is that maybe a stunt double?
That's more of a stunt double. You'll notice that I've got about 40 or 50 pounds on that guy. So I wish that had been me.
I just had to inquire. So is that Ron? That looks a lot like him from behind. So anyway, I digress. All right, guys. Hey, just had a little bit of fun there. I want to start out with the survey respondents, because you guys call them troublemakers. I love this when I was going through it. And so I want to pose this question to you first, Ron. So why do you call them troublemakers, and why is this so important to the annual report?
Okay, so two things here. Mike, you know, we've been doing this study for a long time. This was the eighth year that we've done this. And the sample size is generally pretty consistent every year, around 300 respondents, almost equal between credit unions and banks. And I'm sensitive to the fact that when I do a lot of consumer research, I take pains to make sure that the sample is representative of the population.
Right.
So you look at things like age, gender, race, income, all that kind of stuff. Well, what's representative in the banking world? Asset size, geographic location, I don't know what it is, but all I know is my sample size sure ain't representative of the overall population. But nor do I think that it is supposed to be, because I think the sample is representative of a subset of financial institutions that Steve Williams always likes to call the troublemakers. And what I think he means by that are the credit unions that understand that technology is important to their business model, to their growth. They want to fight the disruption in the industry. They're looking to innovate. You know, so it's not representative of the credit unions who are sitting on their hands doing nothing. I don't know how many of those there are, but you know what? I think there's some.
Yeah.
So we wanted to call out that, you know, we recognize this is not representative of the whole industry,
right,
but do believe it's representative of a subset. And it's, you know what, it's the subset who's going to read the report.
Exactly. Yeah. And really take it to heart as well. And that kind of leads me to my next question here, because one of the first sections in there is kind of the pessimist optimist section in there, where you guys list a whole bunch of quotes from the credit unions and the banks that participated in this survey. And you had the pessimist section, and you had the optimist section, which I found fascinating, because it's kind of like you're diving into their brains and finding out what they're thinking about. And Mary, I'm going to start with you on this one. What were some of your takeaways after going through some of these kind of thoughts, if you will, of some of these bank and credit union executives? I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah, well, I guess I was surprised by the optimism showing up in the research, because I'm like, wow, you know, by most accounts, we're in a grim time. but it seemed like, you know, rather promising. But I think one of the quotes that I was most struck by that Ron uncovered was, you know, I forget the exact line, but at its essence is like, what does it mean to be a bank? And that is like something I've long thought about, you know, what does it mean to be a credit union? What does it mean to be a financial institution? And that is like redefining your identity for a digital age. You know, it's been like such a long storyline, and it seems to be like a storyline that will keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it seems like it's always evolving, especially with on the fintech side, because it's just never going to stop. So yeah, I found that quite interesting as well, because one of the quotes I saw later in the report was like, what is the bank's identity? And you kind of alluded to that right there, Mary. And Ron, I want to get your feedback too on some of these thoughts that the banker and credit union executives had, even optimism, pessimism, that type of, what were some of your takeaways?
You know, I'm sensitive to the fact that there's a distinction in a lot of people's minds between optimism, pessimism, as it relates to the industry, and it's different from how they think it relates to their own institution. And I think to a large extent, well, even the pessimists who cited things like the economy, I think are still optimistic about their own institution. This doesn't come out in the survey because we don't ask that question explicitly.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I was thinking of putting the question in there. And I said, I know the answer already. They're all going to be optimistic about, you know, their own institution.
Yeah.
So, you know, the optimism, pessimism thing is, it's interesting, but I think it overshadows the reality that, you know, most of them are contributing to the industry, of course, but are much more focused on their institution and are very positive about what they see as the opportunities there. Mm-hmm. You know, and I go back, Mike, to the subtitle of the report itself this year, which was fighting the headwinds and riding the tailwinds.
Right.
And I think that's their mindset is, look, they recognize we got economic problems. Those are the headwinds. But from a longer term perspective, the changes in technology, the changes, the changes in the industry are all, to a large extent, of course, they're challenges, but they're positive things and they're tailwinds that they can ride.
Right.
And I think that what we try to, you know, to get into their heads with this report is this is what you have to manage. You have to, you know, figure out those tailwinds and ride them and deal with the headwinds.
Yeah. And which goes back to the cover, which we have right behind us. We'll put a screenshot up of it. I mean, of, you know, kind of somebody out there kind of navigating these stormy seas, if you will. So, yeah. So, this is one of the most fascinating parts of the whole report that I saw, was just kind of getting a glimpse into what these folks are thinking about and what they're going to be experiencing in 2023. And speaking of 2023, we're in it right now. And one of the more popular interviews we did last year took place and talked about the war for deposits. And that's actually one of our biggest, that's one of our most watched interviews so far. So what was said about deposits in your report? Ron, I'll let you go first on this one.
So we didn't get a lot of the qualitative responses from that, but clearly deposit gathering is back at the top of the list of priorities and concerns. I think one of the interesting things from a credit union perspective, Mike, is the continued growing interest in growing not just deposits, but growing the commercial or business side of the business, the non-retail mm-hmm. side. And I think a lot of credit unions are looking to that as the growth opportunity. And I think gathering the small business deposits is continuing to be one of the more popular and, you know, bigger concerns for a lot of credit unions these days.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And the next one I wanted to cover was real-time payments. And Mary, I'll turn this one to you, because I was really surprised that nearly 40% of banks and credit unions have not determined their real-time payment strategy. I was floored by that. What's your take on that?
I mean, it's surprising to me as well, because it's like an inevitability. And I would imagine one would want to be prepared for it, not already heavily involved in it right now, especially, you know, I think a major storyline, and it's more coming from the consumer standpoint, but like, you know, income is volatile and, you know, people need to pay their bills. So like, the ability to be able to do that in real time matters a lot. And I would think as a credit union, you would want to, you know, enable your members to be able to handle their cash flow in a healthier way. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll stick with you on this one as well, Mary. Lending is obviously top of mind, and it will always be top of mind. But what were some of the priorities in this area from your respondents, you know, especially kind of in the activity area and even the technology area? Because it looks like auto loans were tops for credit unions as far as priorities go. What were some of your takeaways in this section?
Yeah, I guess that was the main one. I would refer to Ron on this one, but okay. Auto lending seems to be like, Ron, isn't it true? Like, isn't that like the credit union's most? Yes. So that one's not a surprise. Yeah.
Definitely. Ron, you want to add your two cents to this one?
I think the thing that we dive into here, Mike, is not just the fact that what types of loans are the priorities, but you look at the technology side and a lot of interest on the part of credit unions to upgrade, update their loan origination systems. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a real recognition that they got to get better on the digital side of the coin here from that. So, I mean, the product, the loan types that are priorities, that hasn't changed much, but I think there's a growing recognition within many credit unions that if they're going to compete in this market and compete successfully with a lot of the fintechs and digital providers and larger institutions, they got to get better on the digital side.
Yeah, that process needs to evolve as well. And speaking of evolution here, digital transformation, we've been talking about this, it seems like, for the last 30 years, but it's only maybe been a half a decade or so. So, and it's always been kind of high on the radar here. So what are we looking at, you know, in going into 2023 based on your responses? What's the impact been for digital transformation? Ron, I'll let you take the lead on this one.
The impact has been very disappointing. You know, for the past couple of years, we've presented survey respondents with a list of key business metrics, mm-hmm. and asked them, which of these key business metrics have you achieved a 5% improvement level in thanks to your digital transformation efforts? Digital account opening, deposit account opening, gets a fair degree of respondents on that one.
Yeah.
But then everything else just falls by the wayside, which makes me wonder what's going on under the banner of digital transformation when even a 5% improvement in many business metrics have not been achieved yet. I don't think that's a particularly high bar. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of pulled it out of thin air, to be honest with you, a couple of years ago and said, okay, let's set the bar low. So we can see what the impact is. So it kind of tells me that a lot of credit unions are still floundering in their digital transformation efforts, trying to find traction, and perhaps not doing it in sync with what the overall business strategy needs are, but just simply trying to digitize various applications and systems and starting with deposit account opening and taking too long to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, at this point, if you're, this is not going to be a great year for that because of all the war on deposits to begin with. So, I think there needs to be a reset in the digital transformation. I don't know if you caught this in the report, Mike, but my opening comment in that section was, boy, I hope we can drop this section at some point in time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, to me, it's become a management buzzword. Everybody's got a digital transformation strategy and no one's using the term consistently. So time to kind of refocus on strategy and refocus on initiatives that, you know, really help credit unions achieve their business strategies and quit this banner, you know, putting everything under the banner of something called digital transformation.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And Mary, I wanted to move to the deploying new technologies for 2023, kind of segues from what Ron was saying. So and in there, it said credit unions stand out from banks in two key areas. Can you share what those two areas were and why? I think it was APIs and chatbots. So I thought that was really interesting because it goes back into the last one, the digital transformation. One of the top technologies that they're investing in is conversational AI, which has gained a lot of momentum the last few years as well. So I just wanted to get your take on deploying new technologies.
Well, yeah, actually, I mean, APIs and the chat, they both kind of surprised me. I'd love to see like them in use because I'm like, I wonder what data you're sharing through the API or what are the roadblocks there. But I think it is pretty striking. And also, the chatbot is so interesting just because of, to your point, of like conversational AI is becoming so striking. But I do wonder about like implementation by the average credit union, because I remember like way back when Digit, which was an auto savings app from, mm-hmm. I forget what year, now it still exists, but it started off as more of a chatbot experience. Mm-hmm. And then the founder found that it was kind of annoying for a lot of people. And it was kind of like a fun thing. It's like, it would give you like, it was like a really positive enforcement, but like that the fact that he found it wasn't really working that well is interesting. Huh. And again, that was years ago. So now mm-hmm. we're here at a very interesting time where chatbots could have super duper relevance. But I do want to see like the actual implementation from the credit union to see if it's, you know.
Mike, accurate. If I can jump in here on that too. Yeah, a couple of things I'd want to support and build on what Mary was saying. First, from a chatbot perspective, I got to tell you, you know, if we had this conversation a year ago, I would have been bad-mouthing chatbots and, you know, how bad an experience it is. But we did some research throughout 2022. I actually produced a report called The Chatbot Journey. And I have to tell you, my thinking on chatbots got turned around 180 degrees after talking to companies like BECU and Royal Credit Union about what they're doing with their chatbots and the journey that they're on. And, you know, yes, there's a lot of problems with chatbots, but the out there is something that people currently refer to as intelligent digital agents, assistants, things like that, or agents. Yeah. I hate the term, but I've come to learn that, you know, the incorporation of machine learning and more advanced types of technologies and tools really differentiate sort of the basic chatbot from this. And, you know, it did see a year over year growth in the What's Going On report in terms of the percentage of credit unions, who, by the way, as I mentioned, as you brought out in the report, you know, are much more aggressive about adopting the chatbots than banks are.
Yeah.
But I think it's a recognition of a couple of things, Mike, that not that they want to replace people in their organizations, but they want to better assist them and better than enable them to provide support and service and advice and all the things. And look, the reality is that technology is going to be a lot better at gathering, amassing, and distributing information than any human is ever going to be. And the second problem that it helps to really solve, and I think it's only going to get worse, you know, we kind of glossed over the talent acquisition and retention problem.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
Post-pandemic, this is a huge issue for all types of financial institutions. And I'm going to put my stake in the ground, Mike, and tell you that while I have not been a big fan of bank branches for the past couple of years, I think the experience in the branch is declining and diminishing as it's increasingly being staffed by people with less and less experience. And so I think that is recognized by a lot of credit unions who are saying we've got to put the money into this.
Yeah.
And a quick comment on the API side in terms of why, you know, as we look at this trend towards embedded finance and banking as a service, you know, to a large extent, there aren't a lot of opportunities for a lot of credit unions because BaaS partners want financial institutions with a national focus, which many credit unions don't have. But there's a flip side of this, Mike, that I like to call embedded fintech, which is embedding fintech products into the financial institutions platform. And I think a lot of credit unions are embracing that strategy of embedded fintech, and that's driving a lot of API utilization. I don't want to call that API development because I don't think a lot of credit unions are actually developing APIs, but they are making use of third-party APIs to integrate third parties into their platforms.
Yeah. Good. See, I think we talked about that last year, Ron, at your talk at the Constellations Launch Conference. So
absolutely.
Really fascinating stuff for sure. The other thing I wanted to get to here is mergers and acquisitions. One of the things I found really fascinating there is how likely is your institution to be acquired by another institution in 2023? And the numbers here were very interesting to me. So it said 90% said highly unlikely, but 51% of credit union executives believe that 2023 will be a more favorable year for mergers than 2022. I thought putting those two numbers together, I thought were fascinating. And Mary, I want to get your take on that because obviously mergers and acquisitions are going to be, you know, a big story again in 2023. So what is your take on that in that area?
Well, I just want to add on to that. I mean, it's just something that happens, right? And is necessary. I don't know. Ron, do you think there's anything particularly striking about that from your point of view?
Well, the thing I'd point out, Mike, 51% of the credit union respondents said that they thought 2023 would be a favorable year for mergers, but that's down from almost two-thirds of the respondents going into 2022. You've got half it's going to be more favorable, but that's down from the prior year. Look, this, as Mary says, it is just kind of a way of life in the credit union and banking world right now. Mm-hmm. The reality is that scale is really important. I talked to a lot of execs who just think, you know, we got to get to $10 billion in assets. And this may be more on the banking side than the credit union side. But, I got to be honest, I've just never been a big fan of that section of the report because despite my, I have a couple of colleagues who kind of insist that it goes in there. But part of the reason is because what I like to tell credit unions is, you know, it's going to take you forever to scale your way to a decent size through mergers. You got to learn how to play bigger, play big, at your size. And I think that's why things like the AI and the emerging technologies and APIs and things like that help you play bigger. It's about growing through partnerships and collaboration, not through mergers.
Yeah, maybe you should have another section in there next year about credit unions buying banks, because that seems like a trend that's on the rise for sure. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh my goodness. So anyway, hey, let's see, three most important objectives for fintech partnerships in 2023. Mary, you want to take that one?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't want to necessarily drill into the data, but it plays so perfectly into growing deposits, right? You want to partner with your fintech to grow your deposits. And, I think a typical bank or credit union has often struggled with just digital onboarding. And there's not too much more to say about that other than it's a struggle, it continues to be a struggle. So to use a strong fintech partner as your this is how you do it is an area of interest.
No doubt. Ron, you have anything to add on that one? The objectives here for fintech partnerships?
One thing I'd point out is the difference in the responses between the credit unions and banks. I think it was almost 6 out of 10 credit unions who said that increasing loan volume was a important objective of their fintech partnerships versus only like about 3 out of 10 banks. So it's clearly that there's a productivity aspect to this and a growth aspect to it. And what I think is kind of interesting when I look at the differences between the banks and the credit unions when it comes to their fintech partnerships is that the banks seem to be very focused on internal productivity, efficiency, and cost reduction, and the credit unions more focused on growth, new product development and expansion. And I think that's where they should be focusing. So kudos to the credit unions.
Indeed, sir. Indeed. All right, we'll run a little short on time here. Well, there's a couple of quotes in here that I wanted to get your quick takes on here. Technology challenges abound and regulatory burden is crushing. So I wanted to get, because I find those two, I find that like a square knot. I find the technology challenge and then the regulatory burden. I feel like they're just kind of pulling each other, and it just really kind of puts you in this box, if you will, that you can't get out. So, Ron, I wanted to get your take on that quote from one of the financial institution executives. Technology challenges are abound, and the regulatory burden is crushing. So it sounds like they're just two hitting each other. What are your thoughts on that one?
That's life, buddy. Suck it up. That's the way it is.
Wow. Here's our motivational speaker.
Matt Foley, living down at the in a van down by the river. That's me, buddy. I mean, that's a reference. I don't know if anyone's going to get that one. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that, Mike. Seriously, that's kind of the way it is. And the regulatory stuff comes and goes. The industry enjoyed a few years at least of non-democratic rule where the regulation, we were in more of a deregulatory environment, and now it's reversed and probably isn't going to change at least for another couple of years. Technology challenges abound. That's just the way it is. There's more and more technology being thrown at the industry. You got to figure out how to do it. And, part of the challenge is figuring out what not to do.
Exactly.
And I think that's, where many credit unions aren't focusing enough on figuring, what do we stop doing here? And there's one more reason why I keep saying quit throwing money into your branches when there's all this other technology you need to throw the money at.
Yeah. Shiny red ball syndrome, a lot of distractions out there. What do you focus on for sure? So, and Mary, I want to get your thoughts on, Sam Kilmer had a great quote in there. Organic growth doesn't saunter into the branch anymore. I love that. I had to throw that in there because Sam's a great guy. And I love the quote too. I want to get your thoughts on that one real quick.
I mean, I just plus one, right? it's just not what really happens. Although I would say, people are still signing up with the bank account that their parents have. But hopefully it's, you know, online at this point for the most part. But yeah, I just, you know, I support Sam's comment.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed. All right, guys. Last question here. Any final thoughts on this year's report? Anything? Is there kind of a way to kind of wrap it up in a couple of sentences? Mary, I'll let you go first. Kind of your final thoughts here.
Yeah, this won't be a perfect bow, but I think to the tech challenge and to the talent challenge is something that came out in the report is that, you know, there's an opportunity to try to recruit some of the tech workers that have been laid off. I think this could be especially interesting from recruiting like neobank employees to your credit union, especially as you're trying to build initiatives that improve financial health. So I would say that's an area, an opportunity area.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. Ron, any final thoughts here, sir?
The last thing I think I'd kind of leave people with here is, and it's not necessarily something that's really baked into the report, but I think more than ever, credit unions need to really understand what is their strategy going forward from a business perspective, because without that kind of clarity, making decisions on recruiting and technology and all these other product areas can cause a lot of misalignment unless they're really clear as to how they intend to compete in the marketplace.
Well said, sir. Well said. All right, guys. Thank you so much for your time today and your expertise and your hard work and putting this report together. Really enjoyed it. Again, we're only scratching the surface here, so go check it out. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can get right to it and check it out. Yeah, great, great stuff here. And I look forward to more chats down the road, guys. Well done.
Thanks, Mike.
You are welcome. Anytime. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just I couldn't quit.